You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, good morning to you and a happy Tuesday. I fancy myself as something of a hiker. I enjoy the trails around Arizona, but, well, not everyone likes the hikers.
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford, off the U.S. 60 and Mesa Drive.
Yeah, so there's a former Mesa City Councilman who's at the center of a controversy building in the East Valley. Bill Jaffa is building a multi-million dollar home in the community of Las Endes. Think Power Road in the 202. He's been on video several times verbally attacking hikers near his property and calling the police. Those videos made their way to Reddit, have gone viral, and now folks have taken to social media writing negative reviews of his business.
Yeah, so this is a what do you call it, a land dispute, the hiking trail too close to his property, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. This guy doesn't like that hikers are hiking by his property or on it. Okay, I get it. You don't have to like that. There's some issue as to whether they're trying to reroute the trail,
there's some
the
dispute.
City and stuff.
So, we don't. The city of Mesa and the community kind of need to chime in on this issue, but yeah.
Right. But I think it is fair to say that people hiking on this previously established trail are not in any way, shape, or form threatening this man.
Oh, but he thinks so. And recently, he was videotaped as a woman was walking on the trail.
Okay.
And this guy, Bill, hopped over the wall of his home,
okay.
Came down the hill, and that's where the video picks up. Take a listen.
What does the trail say? Where does the trail say?
Are you being aggressive with me?
I'm calling the police.
Go ahead. Because it actually belongs to Las Endes.
No, it doesn't.
It belongs
to the city.
You know what? I talked to the city manager.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Las Endes.
No,
and
you didn't.
Looked at the property
you
lights.
Walked off the trail. I've got a woman trespassing on our property. Could you send police over right away? We feel that we're threatened.
What's your address?
Right.
Okay, so he feels threatened by this woman.
Yes.
Video goes on.
We're very threatened. Thank you.
You're not threatened.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is she like a professional wrestler or something? Is she maybe some, you know...
No, she's not a professional
no,
wrestler.
No, she's not like a big intimidating woman coming out.
So, like, you know, when you make a call to 911, they always ask about the suspect
in this
case, right?
Can you describe them? Right?
White, black, Hispanic, or native. Do not hang up.
She appears to be Caucasian.
Okay, white lady.
And how old is she?
You know, I'm a
veteran. She appears
to be
veteran. About 35 to 40 years old.
I'm 57.
A 57-year-old white woman. Okay. They still can be a little scary.
A veteran, too,
veteran?
Nonetheless.
Okay. So she knows her way around
it keeps
weaponry.
Going.
Right.
It's like a blue dress over shorts.
It's a
and
skirt,
blue
and it's hiking shoes.
Yeah. And hiking shoes, blue.
Blue.
Okay, can you guess on a height and weight?
I'm 155 and I'm 5'6".
So there's a... Hold on.
5'6", 155 pounds.
Okay, so...
A 57-year-old, 5'6", 155-pound woman, and this man feels threatened to call the police because someone is hiking on the trail.
But also, think about it this way. You are threatened by a quote-unquote suspect who is helping police with her very own description of age, height, and weight, and making sure they have the correct information.
Maybe this guy was just having a bad day. Somebody tinkled in his Cheerios that morning. He's just not, you know what? We all have bad days.
Yeah, you know what? And that's kind of where I was with this. It's inappropriate. It's out of line. He was quite aggressive with her, blocking her way to continue hiking.
The guy's an idiot. He's probably been an idiot his whole life. I get it.
The video made its way up to Reddit, and he has a business in the East Valley, and the reviews on that business have now gone in the tank. And at first, when I saw that first video, Bruce, I'm like, really? You know, yeah, I don't know the whole story behind it. Are you really going to take this guy's livelihood away because he's being a jerk? Yes, he's being a jerk.
These kind of everybody gets on social media.
Yeah,
and goes
you have the social, you know, the social justice warriors, all those types of things. And so I had some compassion, not a ton, but I had some compassion until a second video surfaced. Yeah, take a listen to this one.
You just assaulted my wife, officers. You assaulted my wife.
What?
Really?
What he's doing, officers.
Because I got the video, too, if you want to go ahead and lie to the police.
And that's the other thing, too, that we've got going on here. Not only is this guy quite aggressive with the people around his property, but he's also lying to police. From what we are seeing in both of these videos,
exaggerating the situation,
there's no threat other than there is somebody on one case
walking
a trail behind your home.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that is your property, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But the way you approach and you say she's threatening you and she's just going for a walk seems way out of line. The other video is a guy walking on the street in front of the home.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, you know, he just assaulted my wife. There was no assault that took place.
So no evidence whatsoever.
You're having police come to this area for what?
It appears that he knows the code words to use with the police or with 911 operators to elevate his call.
We're very threatened. Thank you.
You're not threatened.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We're very threatened.
I feel threatened. He talked about, I don't know if they have a weapon. There was an assault. So you don't want a cop to come 3 hours later. They want police to come with lights and sirens, thinking they're going into the middle of like a gang brawl.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is I'm wondering how many calls have been made to Mesa police for this property. How many times have they had to respond? Maybe that's something we can get our news department to work on there.
But I get your point. The bigger issue is, should this guy, and he's a CPA?
Yeah, he has a business, yeah.
Should his business be attacked? Should it be, I don't know if it's going to be ruined or not, but a bunch of one-star Yelp reviews because he is a complete idiot on the hiking trails behind his house.
Right. So I went on Yelp yesterday, and I also went on Google. I'm not going to give the guy's business out because we're not going to, you know, perpetuate that. But the reviews were that of people who appeared to not have used his service, but were quite upset with how he handled the situation. And they would post the video of, I mean, this is him acting like him.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, the question then becomes, would you want to know if your CPA, if your doctor, if your attorney behaved this way? Those that are posting didn't really use those services, but they're making others who may be considering those services aware of some of this behavior. Your thoughts on this, folks? 602-200-2733. 602-200-2733. We want to hear from you on our open mic line. It's open 24/7. We give you 24 seconds to sound off. 602-200-2733.
What does justice look like in this sense, right? That is the question at the root of it. What is justice for someone acting like this? And is, I mean, I guess I'd say if a one-star Yelp review is the worst thing that happens to him, well, he got off light. I want to know, you know, and my whole thing gets back to your question earlier, Pamela. Is he calling once a day? Is he calling once a week? How often is he calling 911 because there's people hiking around his property? And if so, at what point is he filing false police reports? And
so,
at what point are they saying, you're obviously lying about what's going on?
I've been working the story for over a day now, and I've spoken to a couple different people. In fact, there's a mountain biking Facebook page in that area that has a lot of these details. And I've talked to folks on that page.
Okay.
I also reached out to Bill Jaffa himself, and they declined an interview. They say that they've been receiving threatening emails, threatening voicemails, and they don't think that it's a wise decision right now, which I get. But from what I can gather,
I don't think people should be threatening their
wives. No. Not by any way, shape, or form. I understand people are upset and they want to expose this guy, but to what degree?
Mm-hmm.
So what I can gather from the information that I've been given, Bruce, is that these are not isolated incidents. That, yes, we have two videos, but there are other people who live in that community who have had encounters with him, some dating back over a year.
Okay.
And he did send me the apology that he has written and also posted up on Nextdoor, which is an app for communities.
Neighborhood app.
Right?
Yeah.
And just want to read you briefly a portion of it. It says, recently, I, Bill Jaffa, had an interaction with a hiker at my home, and I'm in the process of building in the city of Mesa. Process has been long, frustrating, which includes dealing with the city of Mesa and the positioning of this hiking trail by my new home. Needless to say, I could have handled the situation with this particular hiker better. My actions were not the result of this one hiker, but the issues that I've had to deal with over a period of months and years. They moved the trail. Let me get into this here. The newly rerouted trail will stay in place and ensure that the hikers remain safe, and additionally noted that the new signage will be added to provide direction if needed. Here he's taking the position of it's all about keeping hikers safe.
But that's his argument. He's concerned about the safety of the hikers.
Yeah, Carol. But in those videos, I mean, especially the first one that we played for you, he hopped over a wall.
Apparently chased this woman down and blocked her path. Didn't sound like
called
he was
the police.
Worried, like, lady, don't walk down here. A rock may hit you.
Said she was threatening them. And there was nothing about her concern, his concern for her well-being. So, this is kind of getting some traction around the valley. We wanted to make you aware of it. And I think it's a great discussion as to, though, whether or not you should be leaving reviews on somebody's business if you haven't used their service. Chime in 602-200-2733.
It's another day. It's another tape. Omarosa, the fired, disgruntled, according to President Trump, dog of a woman, has another tape secretly recorded. I'm going to use the term secretly recorded because it appears nobody ever knows they're being recorded except for her. Well, we have the latest on that.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So one of the things that has been going around for 2 years is that there is a audio recording of Donald Trump while on the set of The Apprentice. And you know, when you're filming TV or movie, you know, they yell cut or the scene's over, but you still might have a microphone on.
Your mic's still hot, yeah.
Your mic is still hot, and it catches things. So this was a hot mic moment, if you will.
Apparently.
Allegedly, of Donald Trump using the N-word. Omarosa, the recently fired senior advisor, community outreach, whatever she was at the White House, says she has heard that tape. That tape is known inside the White House that it exists, and that she made the point that they actually had some conversations about it.
Right. She says that there were conversations about it. She started making those statements last night, in that this conversation took place during the campaign when we were hearing rumors about said tape.
October of 2016, right before the election.
And Omarosa started talking last night about how Katrina Pearson, a woman with the campaign, you know, knew about the tape and was trying to handle it. Well, Katrina last night reacted to that.
Yeah. Pearson denied the call ever took place during an interview on Fox News Monday night.
Katrina Kirsten said he said it. Did that happen?
No, Ed. That did not happen. It sounds like she's writing a script for a movie.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. So that is, at the time, was one of the spokespeople, Katrina Pearson.
It didn't happen.
That's silly. That's crazy talk.
Oh, she's writing a script.
And it's in her book, which is full of lies, right?
But
this morning, Omarosa released the latest surreptitiously produced tape where she, and I learned this, they believe she has one of these pens that is recorded. It's not her cell phone. It's a pen that records that she keeps on her persons. And here is the conversation that Omarosa says is October 2016 with the assistant to Eric Trump, spokesperson Katrina Pearson, and campaign communications director Jason Miller in a conference call about how to deal with if this tape of Donald Trump saying the N-word comes out right before the election.
I'm trying to find out at least what context it was used in to help us maybe try to figure out a way to spin it.
I said, well, sir, can you think of any time that this might have happened? And he said, no.
Well, that's not true.
How do you,
so
he goes, how do you think I should handle it? And I told him exactly what you just said, Omarosa, which is, well, it depends on what scenario you're talking about. And he said, well, why don't you just go ahead and put it to bed?
He's embarrassed. That's Katrina Pearson,
yes,
the woman
the one who just said discussion about it. It never happened. And they're trying to come up with, like, well, what was the context he used the word in as a means of, again, they were trying to come up with a strategy ahead of time of what, how do you deal with audio of Trump saying the N-word.
So Omarosa says she's got a bunch of these tapes.
Dozens.
She started kind of laying out the framework for one of them last night, baited Katrina Pearson into denying it, released the phone call, the audio this morning saying, yep, someone's lying here. And now the president is reacting. in a very Trump-like fashion.
Posting probably one of the most harshest tweets that we've seen yet, calling her a lowlife dog. This is what the president posted: when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
Firing that dog. We've been told that the Twitter feed for the president of the United States is policy, is official. Mm-hmm. And so in official capacity, the president of the United States has called a woman a dog.
Yeah, par for the course. It's almost as if the moron who kept hiring her four times, by the way, because, well, hired her three times, got fired four. It's not a good judge of character.
You say, yeah, par for the course. And I get why you say that, because unfortunately we've been hearing statements
like the worst thing you could think of from the president
since he has taken office. But I don't want to just gloss over it.
Okay.
I don't want it to become the new normal. It's not acceptable. I mean, now, he's calling a black woman a dog. Let's be honest. He's also called white men a dog.
Yeah.
So there is no gender or race, you know, differentiation there. But the fact that, again, the president of the United States is calling anybody.
Be happy he left the N-word out of it. You know? Because do I believe he used the word? Of course I do. Of course I do.
Now,
what evidence do you have he's not racist? That's what I would argue.
And this is where, you know, it becomes so overwhelming covering this administration, because I try to be fair. I try to look at it from both angles. And Omarosa has been on the record in the past saying this tape does not exist, meaning the tape of The Apprentice where the president allegedly used the N-word. She has said it doesn't exist.
And they trotted out a black woman to make the denial so people could go, look, even a black woman said
now she is claiming that she has heard said video.
Yep.
Omarosa recording all of this. Again, you said this goes back to October of 2016.
That's when this Omarosa says this recording happened.
So think about that, though, Bruce. She was recording conversations during the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
She has been laying the groundwork for this for years. Mm-hmm. She is not a sympathetic character. She is not a trustworthy character.
She's a liar.
She is not a credible character in all of this. But yet, this is the situation we are faced with.
Yeah, she is. She's a pathological liar. But the audio, she's baiting all of these people in the White House or in the campaign into lying, and then immediately playing the tape afterward, proving that they're liars.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that this isn't the last tape we're going to hear, folks.
She says she has dozens of them.
Oh, good night.
So, yeah. Who knows? Wait for her to claim somebody said something today. That person will come out and say, I never said it. And the next morning, there'll be a tape of them saying it. That appears to be the strategy to sell books, I'm guessing.
That's twisted.
Yeah. And she's being sued. They're saying they're going to take legal action against Omarosa, the White House, for violating her NDA. She better sell a lot of books because she may have to pay a big fine. We'll find out. Football coaches, especially college coaches, they're strict, right? They're disciplinarians. But is there a line? And can you cross it? The University of Maryland is dealing with that now. And we're going to talk to a football player about just how aggressive coaches are coming up next.
Change, change, change.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Thinking of Aretha Franklin today, as the reports are coming out that she is in grave condition, possibly in hospice care. An amazing, amazing entertainer and talent. So I watch a lot of these documentaries, Pamela. Last Chance U about junior college football players. Just watched another one, basically kind of behind the scenes in the game of football. And there's one kind of constant I see a lot of times is football coaches are a certain breed. And I'm not just talking about the tight bike shorts that they wear or the visor. There's one of two kinds. There's the motivator of men. Come on, guys, you can do it together. We're all in this. And then there's the drill sergeant angry attitude towards players.
Right. And the University of Maryland right now is suspending their athletic staff after allegations of a toxic environment. This came out of a report from ESPN. This is the reporter on that story. Take a listen.
When we talked to these people, we made sure that this was beyond the, quote, old school coaching philosophy, right? Everybody we talked to, we said, why is this different? And it's because of how excessive it was and putting more weights on than a player's body should be able to handle, and players passing out, and a player forced to do a tug of war with a bum shoulder.
So I was trying to understand, and again, I the University of Maryland conducting their investigation, I get it. We'll find out what happens with it. But I wanted to understand a little bit more about kind of how that works. Joining us right now, he is a two-time Super Bowl champion for Pamela's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Max Starks is with us. Max, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bruce and Pamela. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, thank you.
So far, so good. I'm gonna show my ignorance, and I apologize I didn't do it. Where did you go to college, sir?
I went to the University of Florida, Fighting Gators.
Okay.
All right.
A football powerhouse. Did you have a coach all 4 years, same coach?
No, actually, I had two different coaches. I had Steve Spurrier for 2 years, and I had Ron Zook for 2 years.
All right. Oh, the Ron Zook era. Okay, so I assume that in the world of collegiate and or professional sports, players are aware that different coaches have different styles. But the things that are being accused of at the University of Maryland, like, you know, making players run and guys passing out, like, I'm not saying I condone it, but a lot of it strikes me as, well, isn't that kind of what goes on?
You know, yeah, I read about the article and heard about the University of Maryland situation, and you know, there's a balance, you know, that you have to have. I mean, obviously, you know, for coaches, is how do I create toughness within guys that they don't think are as tough in their mind or their view, which it can be an antiquated view at times, depending on the era from which the coach is, you know, most notable for. And I think that's where you have to find that line. Because I think back when I was in college and we came in, I mean, we ran hard. We, you know, and it's Florida, so it's a lot of humidity in the summertime. And, you know, guys passed out on occasions. And, you know, it was trying to create a culture of toughness. And that was before all of these studies happened. You know, in fact, you look back to 2001 – Corey Stringer dying, you know, passing out from heat-related complications for the Minnesota Vikings. My college teammate, Araste Otan, passed away in the same time frame, that same year, from heat stroke after we were running drills. So, and a lot of protocols changed after that. And so you try and find that balance of what is too much and what's not enough, because, you know, a coach's job, especially at the collegiate level, you're taking these young men just graduated from high school out of, you know, they're coming out of their parents' home, and the coach is the individual who's supposed to teach them, you know, quote unquote, how to make the jump from being a young man to a grown man in those 4 years, because that's where college develops your character, develops you to prepare you for adulthood.
But Max,
into the working world.
I got to jump in here real quick because, you know, as a guy who played at the University of Florida, a powerhouse, you've played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you talk about toughness. Toughness is one thing. Abuse is another. Where, as a football player, is that line?
And I think that's where it has to be. That's the one that becomes blurry. And I think when you look at, you know, what calculates as abuse, you know, I read through some of the stuff that was in there. Slapping a sandwich out of a kid's hands is a bit rough. And I think, but here's at the same time, was there rule set? Was it in a meeting room? Was he not, what, you know, because I remember you weren't allowed to bring any food in the meeting room. Your only thing you were allowed to bring was like a Gatorade in there.
And you could get disciplined for violating team rules. Yeah.
Yes. But I don't think at that point, slapping it out of his hand, you know, the question is, you know, was it actually, did the coach ask him and the kid disregarded it? And the coach felt like he had to make a statement. But still, at the same time, you have to create an environment where kids feel comfortable. And right now, it doesn't seem like the kids feel comfortable at University of Maryland because of probably some of the verbal. I mean, granted, the verbal abuse, I'm like, hey, that's going to happen. When you have that much testosterone, there's going to be that type of talk.
And so Max,
the actual physical aspect bothers me.
Yeah, again, we're talking to Max Starr, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers, also hangs out over on our sister station, Arizona Sports, from time to time. So, you know, you, as a player, and again, I don't, Spurrier didn't strike me as kind of a nut job, but I mean, I'm sure over your high school collegiate or professional career, you've had coaches who were verbally abusive. Did it motivate you? I mean, does that help you? Did you say, hey, I kind of needed that push when he called me a so-and-so and said I wasn't going to make it? I mean,
does it work?
Yeah, does it work?
For me, no. For me, I already know what my responsibility is. I have enough self-motivation that I don't need somebody to kind of prod or berate me to think that that's going to motivate me to do more. You know, I can recall one situation in college, actually. Ron Zook came up to me. It was right after we lost to Ole Miss. We lost to Eli Manning and his Ole Miss Rebels. In Ole Miss, we lost 17-14. I can remember as clear as day. Coach pulled me aside that following week in practice. He stepped on my toes in my cleats so I would not go, got right up into my face. And it was the quietest, most vicious verbal lashing I've ever experienced. He whisper cussed me. I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's a thing.
But he cussed me out for about 10 minutes while stepping on my foot and yelling at me, claiming that I was the reason why we lost the game. And I was, you know, at the end of it, I was like, seriously, because we had barbecue the night before the game, and that made the guys lethargic. That's what he said. Now, mind you, I'm the captain of the offensive line, and we're in Memphis, Tennessee. How do you go to Memphis, Tennessee and not have barbecue? That's the first thing.
That's an A, number one, yeah.
You know, and so I got barbecue for the guys instead of us having our normal pregame dinner. I got barbecue. We go out. We put two touchdowns on Ole Miss. We throw two pick sixes. And that's what caused us to lose the game. It wasn't because of lethargic. Our quarterback threw two pick sixes. And so, you know, that made me angry.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I focused more because of it.
Yeah,
understood.
And so that bothered me. But some guys,
they
respond to that.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Hey, Max, thank you very, very much for your time today. That is a two-time Super Bowl champ, Max Starks. About the culture of abuse at University of Maryland, a toxic environment. Almost the entire coaching staff has been suspended. This is a major school. It sounds like a revolt, but it also sounds like this guy is a little bit of a nut job, at least when it comes to attempting to motivate young men. What kind of person, worst person in the world, is the one that doesn't return their cart at the grocery store? That's a bad person, right? What about the one that asks for a water cup and fills it up with soda at the restaurant? Oh, you just made the list. We're going to talk about it next.
I was born by the river.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Aretha Franklin, thinking about her today as words are that she is gravely ill. That's coming from family members. And we are thinking of Aretha Franklin today. Amazing, amazing, amazing singer. You ever get to see Aretha Franklin before? I've seen her live a couple times. She's fantastic. She also doesn't fly in planes. Did you know that? She had a bus. She used to go everywhere by bus because she wouldn't fly. So sometimes be like, Aretha's coming for the show. How's it going to take? It's going to take 3 days. Okay. Got it. So I've seen this before. I have a Bruce policy. If I go to a restaurant and I ask for a tea or a soda and they fill it up like behind the counter and they hand it to me, I get one of those.
Really?
If they hand me a cup and they have a dispenser in the corner, I get as much as I can drink. That's my theory. If I have to fill it up, I'm going to have as many as I want. If you fill it up, that's the amount.
We have a guy, though, in Montana who was accused of filling up his water cup with soda. I've seen this happen many, many a times where people ask for water.
Can I get a water
they
cup?
They get the water cup, but then they go over and they get a little Pepsi or a little Coke or a little Sprite or whatever
oh,
it may be. And it ticks
little...
me off. I just think like, wow, you know, how low level are you to like, you know, hey, I'll take some water and like go and get some pop for it. It's just ridiculous. But what's also ridiculous is this guy who is now facing multiple misdemeanor and a felony charge because he did just that.
What?
The guy tried to fill up a water cup with soda at a restaurant. An employee confronted him, said he'd have to pay for the soft drink.
Yeah.
The guy...
You like, didn't buy a soda, you got a free water
the
cup.
The guy refused, left out of the entrance, and went to another restaurant. Police intervened. He resisted arrest. He's been charged with a felony robbery because he's a repeat offender of filling complimentary water cups with stolen soda at fast food chains. Does this bug you as much as it bugs me? Chime in on the open mic line. 602-200-2733. Felony charge might be a little excessive, but hey, you know what? It bugs me so much, I'm all for it. 602-200-2733.
Wow. I'll get him. Yeah. Is that like sign of being a really bad person, the filling the water
yes!
cup up? Yeah. But what about my refills? Do I get free refills
That's
if I
fine. If you pay for it.
I paid for my cup.
Absolutely.
I can have as much as I want.
You can have free water refills if you get a water cup, too.
Ouch. How come the... Is the power back on at Talking Stick Resort yet?
No, I don't think so.
It's been days.
Yeah.
What is going on? And what planet is Talking Stick Resort on that they can't seem to turn the lights back on? We'll talk about it next.